this one.
Good morning. Good morning. It's so wonderful to see your guys' beautiful faces. But if I could have you guys stand. Okay. So I was reading this morning, and this kind of just stuck out to me because I know that things are going a little like it's been harder, like as a person of peace, to like keep my peace. I've been contending. Can Caleb, do you mind taking him for just a second? Thank you. I don't want to drop him. But so I've been trying to be a little bit better about making sure that, because I love to spend time with the Lord, but my time with the Lord often looks like just praying and talking to him. Sometimes if I can, in between naps or something, I'll get some word in. But I've been trying to be a little bit more intentional about reading my word and just getting in there with the Lord. And this stuck out to me today. It's Philippians 4:4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And I just felt that to be so beautiful, especially right now as a mom, like in today's world and things kind of changing from day to day. It's like I said, I have to contend for my peace, which is already given to me, right? But it just feels like at any little thing, it's easy to slip away. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that today, that as you're here, just really just take this time to just press your forehead against Papa's and just let him speak who he knows you to be and his plans for you, and just get like give him and speak back to him. Just lay down those things that have been, you know, tearing your whatever is causing distraction or causing your heart to flutter faster than what it should be, or making you a little bit worried and anxious. Just lay those things down before him, right? You know, as you're worshiping with him, and just let him take those things and exchange it for peace. Because, you know, he went in and he died on the cross knowing exactly what time we would be in, what things we would be facing, what, it doesn't matter, the things that we've done throughout the week that maybe were or were not right. But he sees past those things, and he knows your heart, and he just wants to get with you today. So Jesus, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for being here with us today. Pop, I pray that you, I just want to invite you, Lord, to be here in a tangible, tangible way, God, that you'd begin to press upon our hearts. And that your joy would just well up from the depths of us, God. And that your peace would just exude from us, Lord. And like before, Jesus, that as we're walking and we're out and about through today, Jesus, that people would feel a difference in us, that they would feel you. And they'd want to know what that difference is, God, that you would just light that fire of hunger in us. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Hallelujah. Amen.
So holy, holy, holy.
Worship song, but Revelation chapter 4, there's a description of John being invited up into the heavenlies. It says a door was opened in heaven, and he by the Spirit went into this glorious place. Some think of it as God's throne room. So for a second, just if you would indulge with me and close your eyes for a moment. I'm just going to describe to you a little bit about what he saw, because I believe this song is trying to illustrate that environment. It says that what he saw was seated on a throne was this light emitting life form, and it was glorious. There was rainbows around him. It was multiple colors. It was God the Father. He was just brilliant and beautiful. And it said before his throne, there was the seven spirits of God. Sevenfold spirits of God. Then around his throne, there were 24 thrones. These were the elders. And then in the four corners, I believe north, south, east, and west, were the four living beings. One had the form of a lion, one had the form of an ox, one had the form of an eagle, one had the form of a man. And they constantly said, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. And when the 24 elders heard that, they take their crowns off their head and they would lay them down at the feet of God. You know, the crazy part is it says that we're seated in heavenly places. And I don't know what all that means. But I do understand that it means that somehow, some way, we're there. And when we worship, we're adding to that praise. We're adding to that glorious, holy, holy, holy sound. So I want to encourage you as we go through this one more time. When we start singing day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Incense in God's kingdom was like a representation of all the prayers. And I believe our praise and worship can be prayers as well. So just hold that thought in your heart when we continue this song.
just sing it over you as a church. And as we sing it over you, just open your arms and receive God's blessings in your life for you and your family and your generations.
To just come up, if you really want that more, if you want to be able to be as affectionate as this song is saying, and to have that, it takes something, it costs something, and it's uncomfortable. But I'm just gonna, not gonna beg, but I'm just gonna give you an opportunity to just come up and do something that you haven't done before. Strip yourself of yourself and just allow Him to meet with you. In our youth, we've been reading about Daniel and his friends. And they were taken captive as young children by a king who didn't serve the God that they served. And he asked things of them that weren't things that they would normally do. And they stood up and did something different, knowing that God, their God that they served, was willing to meet them. And they didn't know what that was going to look like. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not have known that they wouldn't be destroyed by that fire as other people fell dead around them. But they did. And Daniel didn't get eaten by lions when he was put down in that den. the Lord brought angels and closed their mouths. And I just feel like God is waiting for us to come and meet with him in that place right now. If you have something in your life that you're wanting him to meet you in, meet him first. It costs something. So I just invite you, whatever that might look like, to do something different. If you want more peace, come up and get it. It's freely yours wherever you're at. That's true. But sometimes it's that like working against whatever you're feeling and going in opposition of what's going on in front of you, in opposition of that fear, to be able to feel what's on the other side. And so I just encourage you, come on up.
the Lord. I want to encourage you, when you hear that the singing stops and the words go off the screen, and Eric or the music is continued to play, is to see if the Lord puts a song in your heart to go with the music. And it can be something you just sing to yourself, or you can sing it to all of us. In one of the epistles of Paul, he says, you should be singing psalms and hymns to each other in service. That doesn't necessarily mean singing a song that you know, but you can do that too. When I read about the early church, it was very interactive. Everybody was participating. And you are free to do that here. This is not about the pastoral team's show or anything like that. I think you guys hopefully know that by now. This is about all of us coming here and by faith engaging with the Lord, letting our hearts be drawn to Him, hearing the voice of the Spirit speaking to us, and maybe sharing a word that the Lord gives you on Sunday. We're not trying to just come here and clock in at 10:30 and clock out at 12 or 12:15 and say, okay, well, I did my job. We're coming here to be changed and transformed. When we spend time with Jesus, He does cause us to be transformed more into His image. And as we prayed early this morning, in early prayer before service started, is when we come here, we bring Him with us. He's not waiting here for us. We bring Him with us. You bring Him with you when you come. So Lord, make us more sensitive. Make us more aware of Your presence, as that song says. Help us to give You all of our love, all of our attention, all of our focus, all of our heart, everything. Help us to let You have it all. Help us to release, Lord, what we've been holding on to, holding back from You. Keeping in the dark. Lord, it's You that we live, move, and have our being, so there's nothing hidden from You anyway. So help us to just let go of it. Help us to just release everything into Your hands. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning, family. Can you put the... Caleb? Caden, can you put the... No. Is it on? Oh, there it is. Awesome. Okay, thank you. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray for Yakima County. And you say, well, Pastor, why do we pray for Yakima every single Sunday? That's kind of monotonous. It's kind of the same old thing. But it's not, because every week that we pray, we're adding to that incense holder in heaven. And how many believe that prayer changes things? It does. And how many believe that our prayer changes things? Maybe some of us don't believe that our prayers change things, and that's why we don't pray. I think if we had more confidence that what we said and what we communicated to the Lord would change things, we would pray more. So, Lord, we do. We lift Yakima County before Your throne of grace, Lord. We pray for every school, Lord. We pray for every, Lord, every workplace, every institution, Lord, of government, Lord. We pray for every every neighborhood park, Lord. We pray for stores, Lord, that are full of people coming and going, getting ready for Thanksgiving, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would just allow, Lord, a heart of thanksgiving to fill this place. Lord, that Yakima would be entering into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. Lord, we pray that worship would be heard in this city, not just from those in church on Sunday, Lord, and not just those, Lord, on different meetings during the week, Lord, but we pray, Lord, that praise and worship would be heard, Lord, in workplaces, Lord, in those schools, Lord, that you would hear our cry to you. You would hear our sound to you, Lord, of lifting up our voices and giving you the praise and the honor that is due. Even if it's in just the quiet of our heart, Lord, that praise and worship would come before you, Lord, because we know that in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy, and we pray that that fullness of joy would fill Yakima County. Lord, that people would start saying, what is different in Yakima? And Lord, it will be because your presence is becoming more aware to people. It's not that you weren't here before, Lord, but this, your presence is going to become more aware. People are going to receive a greater level of understanding that your manifest presence is here. And we thank you for that, Lord. Hallelujah. We pray, God, for our government right now. And we pray, God, that no matter what we see in the natural, Lord, we believe that you're working. That you're working in the hearts of people. You're working in the hearts of leaders, Lord. You're working in the hearts of departments, Lord, of our government, in all facets, in all areas, Lord. We pray that you would touch them, Lord, as you've asked us to in the scriptures. We ask you to bless our administration, Lord. We ask you to bless, Lord, the Congress and the Senate, Lord, with wisdom and godly counsel, Lord, with correction, Lord, with instruction in righteousness, Lord. We pray that your word would come and allow truth to come, Lord, and set captives free. Lord, those that believe wrongly, Lord, we pray that you would help change their hearts and change their minds, Lord. Help us to turn back to you as a nation. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins that we've committed against you, Lord, as a nation. I pray that there would be a heart of repentance, Lord, in your people, and a heart of repentance in this country, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, how do you transition to youth night? Do you want to talk about youth night? Sure. Yeah, we'll let you do that. Okay.
Check, check. Youth nights, Monday nights, best night of the week. So we gather Monday nights here at the church downstairs, and it's been really powerful, and I'll continue to say it again and again that If you know a youth, if you come across a youth, maybe you're walking in Safeway and you see a teenager, just say, hey, Monday nights, 6:30, and have them come here. And so, but we're having powerful times at our youth ministry, and so Nancy and I love it, and yeah, it's a great time. So that's fun. What's next? We have our Zoom meetings. This is for our women's and our men's ministries. Gaylene, every Tuesday night at 7, she does her Zoom meeting with her ladies. And we have ladies from all over, from Yakima, Tri-Cities, Utah. So this is a great night if you want a place to connect and get a little midweek between the Sundays. Jesus, this is a good time to do that. And then on Wednesdays, the men do the same with Pastor Mike. And they're going through Revelation right now, right? And so, so men, I encourage you. I'll just say this, men and women, you're not meant to do life alone. And when your church has resources for you to connect, know that that is not just for our own, to pat ourselves on the back that we do something, but because it's biblical, because we're called to do life together. Amen? And so even though this isn't in person, it is something that we have, and so I encourage you to be a part of that. And then just want to talk about our giving really quick. I think most of you know the drill. If you want to give, awesome. We thank you for that. We have a couple different ways you can give if you would like to. We have our offering box here and in the back there, and then you can give online as well. And we appreciate those of you who give, and on a regular basis, it blesses our house and it blesses us. And so thank you for that. The Lord. Oh, so this. Oh, did you change it? Look at you. How did you do that? So the Lord's Supper, this is not next Sunday. Is it next Sunday? Oh, my goodness. Next Sunday, the Lord's Supper. This is a really, this is going to be a really good event. Not just an event, a time for us to connect as family. So we're going to share a meal together here at the church downstairs from 5 to, I don't think we have an end time. Until everybody needs to, until we kick them out. And so everybody's invited to this. This is a free, I don't want to call it an event, but this is a free meal. And this is a good moment to, you know, invite your friends and family that don't have a place, that don't have a church home, or maybe they do have a church home. And we're just going to come and come and eat as a family and break bread together, because that too is biblical. Amen. So mark your calendars. What? Oh, and we take communion, because we're extra biblical in this church. And so so that's next weekend, next Sunday at 5. All right, is that it? Boom, that's it. All right, so you threw me because the offerings usually last. And so, yeah, it's okay. I'm preaching today, and I'm going to preach a message about being set apart. And this is not a... this is not a message that I think is by any means super original. I think pastors all over have talked about being set apart. The Bible talks about it clearly, how we're set apart, how we're called to be set apart. But I really felt this pressed on my heart, because right now we're going through the book of Daniel as a youth ministry, and there's so many stories in the Bible, but in, especially in Daniel, where almost every chapter is about somebody having to set themselves apart and be different. And I just want to tell you today, church, if you get anything out of today, know that you're called to be set apart. We're called to be set apart, a generation that's set apart, a people that, you know, we don't have to look like everybody else. Because if we're not set apart, then, and just going along with everything, what everybody else is doing, or what society deems is okay, then it's just not going to be, it's not a good plan for any of us. And we're gonna look back at our lives, and we're gonna say, "Wow, why did I go that direction when I know clearly that was not where I was supposed to go?" And during worship, during the end of worship here, the Lord reminded me of a story, and I was like, "Lord, you sure you want me to share that story? Because you'll hear why." And so I'm gonna share it with you, and if you get offended, talk to Jesus. And so I'm joking, but it is a funny story about my youth. And as you guys know, we hang out with youth students. So a lot of what I'm speaking, they lean a lot. Like, I talk about poop a lot, and you know, it's just in my brain. Like, when I'm like, I need to share something funny. So this particular story, I was about 15, 16 years old. And I loved this one band that they're still around, but you know, only people that are my age listen to them. It's this band called Blink-182. And this was my favorite band in the whole wide world. And I had posters, and I, you know, they wore a particular type of clothing, a particular brand of clothing. So I only bought that clothing. Like, I mean, it was obsessive, okay? And to the point with my beautiful daughter, Skyly, her name came from a song that they sang. I heard it when I was 16, and I said, that's going to be my daughter's name. And I somehow convinced my wife to let me keep that little childhood dream in naming Skyly Skyly. So, exactly. And so I was very, very, obsessed with this band. Had all their albums, listened, you know, actually had the physical CDs. You guys know what that is. I had physical CDs that I would listen to. One of the things they were famous for, because it's a punk rock band. This is not like a Christian band. Okay. Let me just paint that picture real quick. Okay. I didn't get saved until 2018. And that's neither here nor there. So this band, one of the things when they really popped off, when they really became famous, they had this music video. And in this music video, the whole video was, and they were censored, but the whole video was them running through downtown LA naked. Okay? Oh my is right, Gaylene. And that was the whole video. They're singing their song and they're running through neighborhoods and they're running through like a commercial set. They're running through like a newscast. I mean, not like real, it's all set up, right? But that's the whole video. And you're like, okay, that's funny. Now, mind you, again, like I'm obsessed with this band, right? I'm 15, 16 years old. And so when me and my friends get together, I'm like, hey, you know what we should do? Yeah. And we did. And so me and my friends, and it was always, we were never brave enough to do it during the day. But at night, it would be like 11 p.m. and we'd be hanging out. And be like, hey, let's go run down your street naked. Okay. And we did. And then we would come back home and then okay, cool. Remember that time? Like it was, I don't know why we did. There was no reason to why we did this. But all over Yakima, it happened with me and my friends. Okay. Never got caught, never anything. Cause again, it was like so late that and we were never brave enough to like, you know, it wasn't like down Titan or anything. I'm sure somebody somewhere has, a story that they're telling about these one time I woke up and to get water and I saw these boys running down my street. So this, I have this friend and his name is Greg. And Greg was the guy that he just kind of went along with it. Right? Like anytime we wanted to do anything, whether it was, hey, it was just anything. He would just follow us and do what we were doing. And it was fine. And one time me and Greg are at his house and it's just him and I, and we're bored and his parents are gone. And we're like, hey, he lived in this cul-de-sac. And I was like, hey, let's streak down your street. And so for whatever reason, we were like, let's do it one at a time. You go first, and I'll wait here. Like, I'm, like, clothed, okay? So I'm not just standing on his porch naked, okay? I want you guys to imagine it, but don't imagine it, okay? Like, I'm trying to bring you into the story, but stay far enough away, okay? So I'm on his porch, and Greg's at the other end. And he's at the end of the street. And Greg's going to run, and then he's going to put his clothes back on, and then it's going to be my turn. I think that's how it's going to go. So I'm waiting there and Greg's down at the end of the road and I'm like waiting for him to like go and he's starting to derobe. And as he is, I see him turn around and not run down the street like he was supposed to, but he starts to kind of like fumble around and go the other way. And I was like, what's happening? And I look and two houses down, somebody had come out of their house to like fix their lights or something. And I don't know about you guys, but if I stepped out my door and 10 feet away from me, I just saw this chubby little naked 16-year-old, I'd be like, what is happening? And so needless to say, it was hilarious on my end because Greg comes back and now he is scared out of his mind. It's like, what are we going to do? My stepdad's going to find out. I'm dead. And so he goes and he's like, don't laugh. This isn't funny. This isn't. And I'm like, this is hilarious. Like, cause I didn't get caught. You got caught. This is hilarious. So he goes into his room. He changes his clothes. He has like on slacks and a sweater and like his nice shoes. He's like, here's the plan. I'm going to go door to door and I'm going to be like, hey, did you guys see like a naked guy running around? So like, he's like trying to like get, it can't be me because I'm the one that is walking around the neighborhood. I'm the neighborhood watch making sure that there's no naked guys running around, right? He doesn't end up doing that and nothing ever comes of it. Here's how this story fits, okay? Is we're called to be set apart, okay? We're called to not just follow whatever, you know, even the guy on social media that we look up to and, you know, he says all the great things and even he, you know, shares all the great Bible stories and all this stuff. Like, yeah, that's awesome. But if we don't understand like what actually our relationship with Jesus looks like and how it sets us apart from the rest of the world, then we're just following suit with whatever is the most popular thing. And it's amazing to me how many even well-meaning Christians, and I mean, I've done it too, and they'll post things that aren't in the Bible, but they sound great. And it's true what they're saying, but is it truth? And I want to tell you guys that there's a difference in that there can be very true statements that are made, but if it's not truth, there's no foundation. If it's not actually based on scripture, then it's just a great idea. And there are great ideas and there are God ideas. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to live my life based on God ideas. And yeah, I'm fully, I love being inspired and I love, I love listening to, listening to or reading books about people that are talking about great things. But at the end of the day, I want to make sure that everything that I'm believing, everything that is my core values is based solely on what God is saying. Is what God is saying. Now, God, the Bible has a couple of scriptures, start Romans 12:2, a couple of scriptures talking about what it looks like for us to be set apart. And in this one, in the ESV, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And I love how it says it in the Passion, the same verse. So stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified says this, says, "For we are His workmanship, His own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which He set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us." We are His workmanship, a piece of art. I don't know if you guys have ever had the opportunity to create anything, you know, whether it's, you paint something or you build something or something like, but whenever you put your hand to something and you're building something that is unique and building something that is specific to you, like only you could do it. Like somebody else could come and maybe like copy it, but it's not going to be exact. It's not going to be exact replica. Like, That specific thing, you know, let's say it is a painting. You know, I know not everybody paints in here, but it is. But if it is a painting, like that is specific. That is uniquely made by the hands that made it, and God specifically and uniquely made each and every one of us. And there's not one person. I mean, even Gaylene's a twin, but even still, there's differences. Right? And so it's not just like God has made you and He's made you to be set apart. And He said, "This is my creation." He said, this is my creation, Gaylene. And yes, I made another one that it almost looks the same. That's Kay, but Kay's different as well. And so I want Kay to be set apart and I want Gaylene to be set apart. And yes, I could have made them look identical, but even identical twins aren't identical. Right? There is differences. And so, this generation, I talk about, when I say this generation, I don't want you to check out if you're thinking, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm not a young person, okay? But when I say this generation, yes, I can be talking about the young people that are coming up, right? But I am talking more specifically about people that are alive right now, this generation. Don't for a second count yourself out because you're like, I've lived my life. I've done my dues. You know, I paid my dues. You know, I've raised my kids. Like, you still have, every single person in here breathing air, you still have a destiny on your life that is not fulfilled yet until you go to heaven. So don't think for a second that just because you may be on the older side of things that you are counted out now. But this generation is not lost. Even though it may seem right now, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Oh my gosh, did you see what the new mandate is? And oh my gosh, did you see what so-and-so posted? And this brand, can you believe that they are promoting this, that, and the other? And I get it, and it is scary. But this generation, there's still hope. Why? Because Jesus. And it frustrates me when I see believers that almost seem like they're so far on this side where it's like, can you believe that this, what's happening right now in these days, and they're communicating all the wrong that's happening in the world, and not one time am I hearing or am I seeing on social media or whatever, hearing about what the glory of God is doing. Yeah, but what about God? I'm sorry. I thought when I said yes to God, I agreed to go from glory to glory. I thought that when I said yes to God, I agreed that I was stepping into something new, and that although the circumstances around me may be a mess, because I have Jesus inside of me, I get to walk in and change the atmosphere. I get to be set apart. It's the difference between being a thermostat and a thermometer. Okay? A thermometer, what does it do? It takes the temperature. Right? Somebody's sick. Let's see where your fever is. Right? A thermostat sets the temperature. So when each and every one of you have the ability to be a thermostat, then when you walk into an environment, when you walk into a place, when you walk in this world, period, you get to see yourself as, I'm a thermostat. Wherever I go, I'm setting the temperature. Does that make sense? When I walk into a place, I have Jesus inside of me. So that means whatever chaos ensues around me, I set the temperature wherever I go. So let's not give up on this generation. How we speak about this generation is everything. It's our roles as fathers and mothers to step up. Let's not regurgitate what past generations did before and just say, okay, that's what happened in the past. That's how we did things then. That's how we're going to do things now. But let's actually say, hey, maybe we didn't get everything right. So learn from my mistakes. Learn from me. Because I want to be set apart. You know, my wife and I, Nancy and I, we didn't do everything perfect. We still don't do everything perfect. But our beginning of our relationship, you know, wasn't this ideal, like Christian relationship. You know, it was very messy. And I thank God that he still worked through us and allowed us to get married and have kids and all that. But I look at young couples, or I look at young people, because obviously we deal with teens, and they can look at us because we're very open about our story, and they'll be like, yeah, but it worked for you, so why can't it work for us? It's like, well, our story is not a model by any means. Like, I'm not saying, hey, go do this because it worked for us. It's by the grace of God it worked for us, and I thank him that it did. But what I do is I take our experience, and I'm saying, hey, I'm able to speak from experience, because when I look at our relationship, when I look at how we did things, it was hard. And although I love my life and I love our story and I love how everything played out, I look back and I'm like, wow, if I would have made a couple of alterations here and there, things would have been a lot easier. The more separation we put between us and the generation now, the more lost they'll become. The more separation that we put in and say, well, that's just them over there. They'll figure it out. I don't want anything to do with them. I don't want anything to do with what's going on over there, the sinners over there. Like, the more separation that is created, the more the void is happening. So my first point is this: being set apart is going to cost you something. And some would say being set apart is going to cost you everything. Because sometimes it does. You know, when I started to actually, not when I got saved, when I actually started to pursue God and in a deeper way, where I was throwing everything off and saying, no, I don't want to go that route, or I don't want to talk about that, or I don't want to do that thing because I'm set apart now. There were people that weren't a fan of that. And there were people in our lives at that time when I was younger where there, you know, there was family members where they treated us different. And I mean, honestly, we still get treated different, you know, to some people that are still in our lives. And it's like, yeah, I could be mad at that, or I could be like, you know, that's fine, because I'm called to be set apart. And if you want to see me as different, that's actually the goal. Like, I want to be seen as different. I want you to look at me and say, there's something different about you, because that's what I'm actually called to be. In Daniel 1, we meet Daniel and his friends, and this is where, you know, a lot of us have heard this story, and this is where, you know, they get all the young people and all the, and they're going to build them up, and Daniel it says he doesn't want to defile his body with what they're giving him. So Daniel 1:11, it says this: Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. In order to be set apart, we must first be okay with being different. Can you imagine, like, how did they look eating vegetables? Like, we're not privy to that information. It just kind of skirts over the 10 days. But how did they actually look when they were eating vegetables and everybody else was eating what the king was giving them and drinking the wine? Like, they probably looked really foolish. Well, they're over there eating their carrots and I don't know what kind of vegetables they had back then, but you know, they're over there eating their carrots and their celery, and everybody else is eating, you know, meat and potatoes and drinking wine or whatever, right? They probably looked really foolish. In order to be set apart, we must be okay with being different. What were people saying? Were they ashamed? I'm sure there was a moment where they maybe even felt like, wow, like, this actually, I actually do want to eat what they're eating. That smells really good, or that looks really good, or wow, this carrot isn't doing it anymore. It's been a week and this carrot isn't doing it anymore, right? But in order to be set apart, we must be okay with being different. It's going to cost us something. When we say yes to being set apart, we got to understand that it's going to cost us something to be set apart. The second thing I want to say is this: it's hard to look set apart when you're going the same direction as everyone else. It's hard to look set apart when going the same direction as everyone else. When you just blend in, which, let me be honest, I think we've all been there where it's just easier to do what everybody else is doing because I don't want to be, you know, poked and prodded out. I don't want to be the one that is over here while the majority is over there, right? But when we're called to be set apart, like, it's hard to actually look set apart when we're all going the same direction. John 15:19 says, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Last weekend, there was an event called Astroworld. And maybe you guys have heard of it on the news. And it's been hitting my heart all week. And if you don't know what it is, I'll explain it in a second. But I don't pay attention to the news a lot, honestly. Like, I see highlights here and there, but this, you know, everybody's talking about this right now on social media, so that's probably why it was so heavy in my face. And because it specifically has to deal with young people, I'm then now my interest is more piqued. But there's an event, this festival, Astroworld, and there was 50,000 young people. 50,000 young people. And specifically to see one artist, his name was Travis Scott. And this was down in Houston. And what came of that event is 9 people died and hundreds of others injured. And it wasn't a mass shooting. There wasn't like a weather event, a tornado or a hurricane that killed people. Or there wasn't a bomb that went off. It was the people. There was too many people there. And literally people were getting crushed, being in the middle. And 9 people died. A kid died that graduated from Highland just a couple years ago. And so the reason, you know, I've been trying to figure out all week, why is this bothering you so much? Obviously it bothers me that young people died. But I'm like, why am I so bothered by this? And it's not because they went to a secular event to listen to secular artists. Like, this isn't my moment to stand on a soapbox and say whether Christians should be listening to secular music. Like, that, I'm not here to talk about that. If you want to have that conversation, we can have a private one about that. But more, it's I think why it's bothering me so much is that this generation is looking for something so unique and different that they're willing to do anything to get close to it. They're looking to, they're saying, I want to be so unique and so different. And that guy represents unique and different. So I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. There's so many young people that were in college, some people that were in high school. There's a young boy who was 9 that went with his dad that I think is still in a coma from this event. Like, so many people went to this thing for a fun time and came out with a horrible experience. This generation's looking for uniqueness, really, and really what they're going after, what they're pursuing, is not unique at all, because everybody's running the same direction. So they're not unique at all. And so why it bothers me is because they're desiring it so much and not realizing that, hey, if I actually turn to Jesus and be set apart, that's the most unique that I can be, because he's the one that makes me unique. Daniel 3, this is a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nancy brought it up. And one of my favorite stories, one of the most popular stories in the Bible, I teach it in Sunday school and whatnot. King Nebuchadnezzar, has this big golden statue of sorts, golden shrine, and wants everybody to worship it, wants everybody to stop what they're doing and bow down to it, no matter what they're doing. And in verse 4, it says, then the herald, this is where they're telling everybody what to do. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So what's it going to risk you? Sometimes it's going to risk you everything. And the question we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to risk it all to be set apart? Am I willing to risk everything that, even though society is saying this is okay, this is actually what is okay, this is what we're deeming as a new normal, are we willing as believers in this church to say, no, that's not the new normal. That's not the new normal. That goes against what this says. And this is the only normal. This is the only normal that I'm going to follow. And I get it. We want to be sensitive and we want to make sure everybody feels loved. And that should be our first goal, no matter what. No matter what arena we're stepping into, no matter what people group we're stepping into, it all should be operating out of love. I said it a few weeks ago when we were up here with Mike and Gay, and I stand by it. If we're not operating out of love, then we're just being annoying. Okay? There's no going around it. Jesus came and he operated out of love, even in moments where he was frustrated, even in moments where he was upset. His goal ultimately was that this person in front of me is going to feel loved, no matter how dirty, no matter how sinful they are, no matter what they've done in the past, no matter what they did this morning, this person is going to walk away feeling loved. Literally the person on the cross next to him. We have little history of what that person was about. What did Jesus say? Okay, this person has a seat in my house. Are you willing to risk it all to be set apart? You know, my son Caden, this is something that, I mean, he convicts me a lot of times, because he has moments where he just is so, his standards are so high that he wants to live so close to Jesus that there are moments where he's not afraid, and he doesn't love, but he's not afraid to actually say, "Ha, that's actually not okay. That's not okay that we're joking that way, or that's not okay that we're seeing that or saying that." And he had a moment just a few weeks ago where he's at a friend's house and somebody was joking and he kind of let it slide. And then after a while he just stopped, and this person was older, and he said, "Hey, actually, like, that's not okay. We need to stop joking that way." Right? And I look at him and I'm like, I didn't say, "Hey, Caden, just so you're aware, whenever you're around people and they start saying crude stuff, you need to make sure that you make everything really awkward." Right? That's awkward, right? Have you ever told, like, have somebody rebuke you and say, "Stop doing that"? Like, that's weird. It's awkward. But I commend him, because he said, "You know what? No, I'm being set apart, and I know my friends want to be set apart as well. So I'm actually going to raise the standard. Instead of lowering it in this moment, I'm going to raise the standard and say, hey, this is actually the mark that we're trying to hit. And when you come in with that kind of talk and with those kind of jokes, you're bringing us down. And we're not being set apart because we just look like everybody else now. So I love it. But does your life show that you're set apart? Does it show who you worship? Or do you know what you're bowing to? Are you bowing to fear? Are you bowing to worry, anxiety? Are you bowing to reason and logic and calling it wisdom? This is one of the things that gets me so much. And I want us to begin thinking about this, because we all have Holy Spirit. You all have access to him, okay? And a lot of times, us as people will be scared of something. We'll be really have anxiety about something, and we'll stop ourselves from going forward that and opening a door that God has put in front of us, because he's like, you know, I just don't think it's wisdom to do that. When in reality, we're just afraid. And I want us to understand that there's a difference between fear and wisdom. There are things that God's going to call us to, like saying, hey, they're saying bow to that thing, right? It would have been easy for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be like, hey, you know what? You guys, we should probably bow, because they're going to throw us in the furnace. Yeah, I think that's wisdom. Yeah, let's just bow, because I'm not about to go into that, you know, and be like, this is wisdom. No, that's fear. There are going to be moments in our lives where we're going to be faced with something where we have to understand that I'm going to have to make this decision with pure wisdom, with pure Holy Spirit. And the outcome may be me risking it all. But if God brought me to it, God's going to bring me through it. If God said, hey, this is actually the standard I have for your life, and you said, yes, I'm going to stick to that, he's going to bring you through it. He's a good God. So know what you're bowing to. And this is just me saying, hey, if you are struggling with fear, if you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with worry, you're calling reason and logic, reason and logic, when really it's just fear, then know that this is a great opportunity to get with the Lord and say, hey, I want to deal with that with you. Amen. The final thing I want to say is this: being set apart was never meant to be for a season. Being set apart was never meant to be a season. This isn't a diet plan. This isn't like, okay, great. Well, for 30 days, I'm going to do keto. And then after that, I get to go eat Big Macs. It's not how it works. Okay. Right. You guys, any of you guys ever done like a diet plan like that, where you're like, this is my timeline, and then you get off it and you're like, great, I lost 10 pounds. Now I just live my life, right? Like, and it doesn't work. This is why diet plans, you know, don't work, because it's not a diet plan. It's a lifestyle change that needs to happen in our life when it comes to our health. The same applies in our spiritual walk. It's not like, okay, great, I get to do, we used to do the 90-day Bible challenge, right? And it's insane. As insane as it sounds, it is that. It's insane, okay? It's like 15 chapters a day or something, right? And I can imagine that it would be very easy to be like, great, I'm going to sign up for that, and I'm going to do the 90-day Bible challenge with my church. We're going to go through the Bible. It's going to be amazing. But then day 91, I just read my Bible for 3 months straight. I could take a break, right? Day 92, you know, I'm still good. I'm still eating off of the, you know. And then day 180, you're like, you know what? Like, I might, you know, read a part of a psalm, but I'm still, you know, like, no. It's actually like, when me being set apart is not just for a season. It's not just for this time that I go to this church or that I hold this position or whatever. No, it's actually, I'm set apart regardless of where I am. Regardless of what church I'm going to, regardless of what community I'm a part of, regardless if I'm a pastor, I'm not a pastor. Like, it's not just for the holy people up front. Like, being set apart is what we're called to all be. So 2 Timothy 4, and I'm going to read this and then we'll wrap up, because Russell Wilson is back and there's a Seahawks game today. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 says this, says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them for a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Are you guys hearing this? Does this sound familiar? They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on the day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for this appearing. In verse 7, I want to read that one more time. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. I have fought the good fight. I have continued on this path because I didn't say yes to being set apart for a season. I said yes to being set apart for the rest of my life. In church, if we don't get this, if we don't understand how important it is for us to be set apart, we will blend in with the rest of the world and we will get confused in what actually is truth. And we'll start to say, yeah, I think Jesus said that. That sounds like something Jesus would do. I don't care what you think Jesus would do. Tell me where it is that Jesus did that. If we don't, oh, that's a cute picture of me and my sister. Yeah, it's so important, you guys. It's so important. Obviously, everything we say up here is important. Everything Pastor Mike and Galen say is important. But I want us to continue to just go on this journey with the Lord. God, what does it look like in my life to be set apart? And where in my life am I just blending in? Where in my life am I just looking like everybody else? And I'm asking myself that question as well. If people were to look at my life, more than just, oh, Eric, you post encouraging things on Facebook, so I know you're a Christian. Oh, Eric, I know that you go to that church on Titan, so I know that you're set apart, or I know that you seem set apart. But actually, if a stranger met me, would they say, wow, I don't know what it is, but there's something about you that's set apart? I'm asking myself that question. And to be truthfully honest with you, I don't know. I don't know if my life, what it appears to the outsiders, if it looks like I'm set apart. So I'm going to pray. We're going to get out of here. Jesus loves you. We love you. He is in such a good mood. Amen. If you guys recognize this, but Jesus is in such a good mood. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're here in this place. And I just pray for every heart here. I pray for every person that can hear my voice, every person that will listen to this later or that is watching online, Lord, that we would take assessments of our life, Lord, and that we would truly strive to be set apart. We would truly strive to live our lives as close to you as we possibly can. And God, I just thank you that even in our downfalls, even in the moments, Lord, where we fail, even in the moments where we're not set apart and we just look like everybody else, God, you still love us, that you're so full of grace. And I pray that we would be full of grace. I pray that as we go out into our day, as we go out into our work week, as we go out into our school week, as we go out into just, you know, living our life after Sunday morning, Lord, that we would be set apart. That people would look at us and they would feel something different when they're around us. They would get around us and they would want their lives to be set apart just by being in our presence, God. So I just declare, Lord, I declare that every house in this place is blessed. I rebuke all sickness. I rebuke all depression. I rebuke all anxiety, all strife between family members. And I just bless your holy name. I bless his house. And I bless every person in this place. And I thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. Have a great Sunday. And don't forget about next Sunday. I mean, we'll talk about it again next week. But what is it called? The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper next week. It is. All right. Love you guys. Have a great week.